Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and the conclusion of our study of Revelation chapter 22, verses 6 through 10, titled, The Time is at Hand. This is part 2 of 2.
We're all in agreement with the early Christians. And by the way, most of whom were premillennialists who expected the imminent return of Jesus Christ. They didn't have the whole dispensational thing quite down, and there were some areas where they were lacking. And then we went into persecutions and things where they couldn't develop their doctrine. And then we went into a thing, little thing, just a little thing, dark age. So it only makes sense historically that after the dark ages ended with the Reformation, they give credit to the Renaissance, but as after the Reformation, the dark ages ended, that's when what we teach in dispensationalism and the pre-trib rapture became much clearer and taught with clarity. That's how it happened. Any other claims or views are just simply baseless. So, review. People point at this and pretend that this happened in 70 AD. Can you agree that that's not true? It didn't happen in 70. The second coming is not found in the sacking of Jerusalem by Titus in 70 AD. That's not the second coming. But they also said it's a failed prophecy. The failure isn't in the prophecy, but in their heads. Amen?
Amen.
Is reality check. Once Antichrist appears, Jesus will come quickly. See the point there? It's a 7-year countdown that most people will not even see coming. Think about it, folks. We live in a time where you could get a Bible anywhere. There's radio and television preachers, there's a lot of bad ones, but there's some good ones. And then the internet, there's all kinds of good ones. And there's good churches spread out all over the world preaching the truth. And yet, you go out on the street and talk to 100 people, probably 90 of those 100 don't have any idea what you're talking about. And 9 out of the 10 of the others will be confused. Imagine what it's going to be like when the influence of the Church of Jesus Christ is removed in the rapture. It's a new dark age. People will not see the second coming. Coming. For illustration, just what it means to behold, I come quickly in light of the fact it's been 2,000 years. This is just something to think about. The first flight of the Space Shuttle Discovery was in 1984. I was in school. They delayed that flight 6 times. I was kind of into it, and I kept looking for this to happen. I think it was right after we got cable and C-SPAN, so you could watch these things live. And I was excited. I'd never seen one live. So I was marking my calendar, getting ready to go watch it, and they kept postponing it and postponing it. Finally, the flight departed on August 30th, 1984. And you know, it flew quickly. It went 18,000 miles per hour. That's the same sort of thing that I'm talking about. Before I jump off that, where I went too far. It's just put this in terms of Bible prophecy. I've also, over my lifetime, heard people date set. And I've heard even good preachers, you've heard it from me, Jesus is coming soon. He's coming soon. And sometimes things like Desert Storm, 9/11, things happen that really kind of get you, whoa, man, pumped. And then there's no flight. You're still stuck here, right? How many of you got a little discouraged from time to time over that? I mean, you know, just being human. Like, man, come on. I noticed people when Trump was elected were like, this stinks. We needed Hillary. She's practically the Antichrist. If she'd been elected, then we'd be, you know, that's how some people were thinking. And disappointment and disappointment. And after 6 times, I was like, wasn't even going to turn it on. And I can't remember the exact reason, but I was home. So I'm like, well, you know, we'll see. Turn it on. And it actually took off. And that was awesome.
It went on the 7th time, huh?
Yes. There's a biblical number of perfection and completion. Boom. How many of you have seen the special, has anybody actually seen it, there, been there? Dan, you've seen it? See that something? Twice, rub it in. I would have loved to have actually been there, because they say you just feel it. You know what? I think that's what the rapture is going to be like. After all the repetitive disappointments and getting excited, it's not God's fault, it's our fault. As a matter of fact, we ought to just be excited every day and not have this roller coaster ride that a lot of us are on. Amen?
Yeah.
But, you know, one day it's going to happen. You don't think that's going to be quick? Behold, I come quickly. So that's exactly what it means. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. And this is important. We're going to go to the next verse, because then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren to the prophets and of them which keep the saying of this book. It's an angel, but he's putting himself on the level of the prophets, who, by the way, by this time are all in heaven and glorified. But they're not God. So don't worship them. So don't be praying to them, Catholics.
Amen.
Yep. Amen. Don't be praying to Mary. Don't be praying to the saints. And I guess they pray to the angels too. They got Michael down here at the St. Michael with a big statue with a belly button on an angel. Don't be praying to them, because they're not up there listening for your prayers and then passing the word. If there's any Catholics listening, I just love would have you explain that. What do you think? You know, they're all up there listening for... They'd have to be listening all the time. That's all they're doing. It's like heaven is... I'm just saying, let's just play along for a minute. Let's say you pray to the angels and to the saints. They must be sitting at a desk. Hold, please. Yeah. Oh, I'll be right with you. Yeah. And at some point, they have to get away from listening so they can go up and say, Lord, I got a list here. Jenny, her car. Can you do something about her car? And, you know, aren't you glad you didn't have to go through them?
Amen. It still wouldn't be done.
You went right to the Father through the Son. That's the message of this right here. That's it. You know anybody who prays to the saints or angels, that's one of the places to take them. Prayer is an act of worship. Do you know that? Before criticizing John, put yourself in his toga. Because John bowed down. Scripture is clear that angel worship is a very real temptation that we must guard against. Now, I don't know, but let's just say that Muhammad really did see an angel. It would have been a fallen angel, but it still would have blown your socks off. Joseph Smith, who claimed to see Moroni, maybe there was a Moroni, but it's a fallen angel. We were talking about this earlier. The Jehovah's Witnesses, the Watchtower Society up there in New York, they call that place Bethel. They call them where they meet the house of God. And they claim to receive what they put in their magazines from angels. Ain't that something? A Jim Jones, William Branham, David Koresh, all these cult leaders that you've heard up through the years, they all tell stories of having angels visit them. And they take their word over God's word. Every one of them did. That's how they became well known. Think about that. So, you know, John being in this glorified creature, you can sympathize with him that he would do that, but he was rebuked for doing it. We're warned in Colossians 2:18, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility, and what? Intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. That's the description of the person who worships angels. I mean, what is it? Black crows? She says she talks to angels. And I've had Christians who said, I love that song. What do you love about it? It's encouraging something the Bible condemns.
But he's thinking about angels.
Are you that stupid? The fact he's singing about angels and leading people into death, that's not something to be happy about. But it must be really hard if you allow yourself to get sucked in. There's an awful lot of people involved in it and singing about it. We're told that there is only one being to be worshipped. Amen?
Amen.
Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not. Don't bow down to the angel. For I am thy servant of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. See? Worship God.
Amen.
God's the only one to worship.
Amen.
And Jesus is what?
God.
Jesus is God. I got banned from Facebook for 30 days because after telling people the truth about Martin Luther King Jr., who denied the deity of Jesus Christ, I was told I was crazy and all these things. And I told the woman to shut her godless pie hole. Amen. Rebuke them sharply. It's a little known Bible verse. It's a little known Bible verse, but it's the infallible word of God. And it says, rebuke them sharply.
Yeah, that's right.
That they may be sound in the faith. Amen. Titus 2:10, I believe. Look it up and tell me if I was right about that. Just to see if I have some memory left. Titus 2:10, I believe, is the rebuke. It also says, a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. But I went on to say, if you do not believe in the deity of Christ, I'm paraphrasing because I can't remember my exact quote, but if you do not believe the deity of Jesus Christ, you're damned. Why did I tell her that? Because it's true. And because I'm filling in the blank in Christianity today of all the spineless, little, limp-wristed, feminist men in the church today who will not tell people the truth. Because they're always wanting everybody to like them.
It was Titus 1:13. And the other you just referenced was...
Titus 2:10 is to, after the first and second admonition, to reject the heretic. 3:10, okay. I was at least in the right book. Matthew 28:16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Verse 17, and when they saw him, they what?
Worshipped him.
But some doubted. So they worshipped him because they could just see, but yet there was still some doubt. Well, you know, that's where I think most Christians are today. I'm talking true Christians, really born-again Christians. They worship Jesus, but because they've got this Vatican corrupt Bible, or they've got corrupt doctrine, whatever, they still have doubts, because that's all error will do for you. Error will beget error, and you will not have any real assurance, as we already went over. So this is the eternal question. Do you worship Jesus as God from your heart? You need to worship Jesus, and you need it to be from your heart. That's something we cannot produce by any theatrics. We can follow the independent fundamental layout of the greeting, two hymns, prayer, offering, special hymn, and then the sermon, and then close with a prayer and altar call. And it still will not produce anything in you unless it's from the Word of God. That's the only thing that will produce this in you. Or do you doubt? Not asking for a show of hands and confessions. I'm asking you in your heart to really ask yourself this question. Young people, I think one of the reasons why we have so many kids who do run off is because, and it's not any fault, we were watching a video last night. It's a pretty good video, Act Like Men. It's about the Titanic and how there were examples of men acting like men who gave up their place in these lifeboats so women and children could die. It was, you know,
could live.
So the women could live. Yeah, women could die. Yeah, real women. Destroyed the whole illustration, but you now have the picture.
These guys gave up their seat in the boat so these women and children could live, and they died. The men died. They knew they were dying by giving up their seat and letting those women. And, you know, like I said, it's a pretty good video, but we were talking about how that two things, really. Number one is, I hope it was because they knew where they were going when they died. Because if they were just trying to show how big a man they were and they weren't saved, that was a heck of a last act before they entered hell. True. And the other thing is that, what was my other point? Not only do they need to have done that to be saved, but he was making the point, though, then looking in our day, how that so many kids are walking away, and even use the homeschool movement, and we homeschooled our kids, and so many of those kids have gone into error. There's only so much you can do, parents. And over, my children to other children, I preached at some homeschool functions, and would stand up there and you know, give a youth message to these kids, and I would urge them to get serious about this thing with the Lord. Really ask yourself, what do I believe? And really ask tough questions. Don't be afraid to ask those tough questions. With respect, if you got a question, ask it. Yes. And so many of them just never would take it seriously. And then finally, when they did take the matter seriously, they had already filled their heads with so much garbage and surrounded themselves with bad influences, and that a lot of them end up in the pit. There's articles and books about it all over the place, how the children are leaving the church and that sort of thing. Kids, I'm here to tell you, you have to take your soul seriously and examine the Word of God and ask yourself, do I really believe that Jesus is God who came as a man to die on a cross to pay for my sins with His shed blood? Do I really believe that when they put Him in the tomb, that on the third day He rose from the dead, bodily, from that grave, conquering sin and death? Do I really believe that? Amen. And I didn't. I didn't until I was 19 years old. And 19 years old, I just will never forget what it was like when I realized what a fool I was already being, what a fool I would be to continue on living the way I am, and how badly I needed to be saved. And really then became a believer. Really tested, asked the questions, found the Word of God to be true. Jesus is Lord. He's the Lord from heaven who came to die for our sins. And He saith unto me, verse 10, seal not the sayings of the book, of the prophecy of this book, for what? That's where we want to close this thing up, but I want to just, you know, throw this out there in closing. Would anyone doubt that today? There are people out there who call themselves Christians who say, ah, you know, there's always been this talk of it being the end. I said, you realize Peter predicted you'd say that?
That's right.
You're a fulfillment of prophecy, and it's not good.
Scoffers.
This is a Christian church in D.C. It's actually, they call themselves Calvary Baptist Church. You're looking at the co-pastors. They're not only two women, but they are married, quote-unquote, married lesbians. Despite the Bible's clear opposition to homosexual relations in both the Old and New Testaments, a Baptist church in the heart of the nation's capital has just named a married lesbian couple to co-pastor its flock. Calvary Baptist Church in Washington, D.C. presented Maria Swearingen and Sally Sarrett to its congregation during morning worship on Sunday, with the women's official duties commencing February 26th. Could you imagine being there when that happened? Quote, "We look for the best people in the world, and that's who they are," church spokeswoman Carol Blythe told Religion News Service. "We are very excited."
Rainbow colored flag on their sign. I'm like, why are you doing that? Right next to campus.
If it's the it's called University Baptist Church. It's been apostate for years.
It brings shame to the name Baptist.
Well, yeah, it does.
It's good for my college.
But the thing is, and I've tried to inform you of this, but you know, there are a lot of fundamental Baptists who don't realize that at least 2 out of 3 churches with Baptist on the name are apostate. At least 2 out of 3. That's why we did, you know, don't make a big... We want people to know we're Bible believers. And the Baptist thing, it's a shame, but that's the way it's gone. Well, it just so happens that Luke 17:28, Jesus said, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot. Do you remember what it was like in the days of Lot? But according to the Bible, none of you were old enough to be there. But in the days of Lot, it was so horrible. It was, well, it was about like San Francisco. Go look up San Francisco and what it's like there, very close to the way it is was in the days of Lot. Sadly, that's just an obvious thing, but it's that way in parts of Columbus, Ohio. It's that way in parts of New York City, Chicago, Houston, Dallas, etc., etc. Most of the big cities are being given over to Sodom, so we're getting there. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So, that tells us that when Jesus comes, His second coming, it's going to be Sodom and Gomorrah. So, that tells us that as we see the world becoming Sodom and Gomorrah, it getting close. Amen?
Yeah.
That's what it means. The time is at hand. U.S. abstains as U.N. demands end to Israeli settlements. For my entire adult life, the United States of America has vetoed efforts by the anti-Semitic idiots in the U.N. to condemn Israel for being Israel. But our Muslim president, now that he has nothing to lose, gave a directive for his ambassador in the U.N. to abstain, which allowed the vote to go through. And the United Nations was a cursed organization, but now they are highly cursed with this vote to condemn Israel. They also had this Paris summit where they urged the two-state solution, which is a fulfillment of Scripture. Joel chapter 3 presents the world versus Israel. And God said, for behold, in those days, and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, which He's done, and I believe right after the rapture, you're going to see one last big sweeping movement of Jews going back to Israel from America. The Jews all around the world are almost all going home. America is really the only large holdout of Jews in the world. New York. Verse 2 says, I will also gather the United Nations and will bring them down into the Valley of Jehoshaphat, that's Armageddon, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage, Israel. See why it's so important not to replace Israel with the church? Because you become blind as a bat. Whom they have scattered among the nations. Did they do that? Yes, they did. And what's the UN trying to do now? What are they trying to do with this meeting in France? Parted my land. Take note of this, folks. God is going to destroy the United Nations for the two-state solution.
Amen. That's right.
The stage is being set. We're going home soon.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time of Your Word, and we are ready to go home. And we just pray, Lord, that You help us to stay the course, to continue doing the work, to not go based on feelings, but go based on the fact of God's Word, because we trust the Word of God. We trust and believe the promises You've given us. We believe the prophecies. We believe that Jesus could come at any moment and rapture the church out of here. We believe everything that you've told us in your book. Help us, Lord. Help us to live with that faith being our motive and our motivator. And we do it because we love Jesus Christ. And we are so thankful for what He has done for us that it's only reasonable, as Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, that we present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, that You could use us according to Thy will. And help us, Lord, to prepare now. Prepare now for what may come. It may get ugly. It may get difficult. The trial and persecution may continue. Well, I believe will continue to increase. So long as You tarry, we need to be prepared for that. And we ask Your help in doing that with thanksgiving for the fact You've saved us. And we will praise You for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20, verse 21, King James Bible.